Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sober Shaman podcast. This is the first podcast of 2026. Thanks for joining me here today. And as it is this first week of the year, it's natural to look at things about ourselves that we want to change. Whether you call that a resolution, whether you call it a year of living more lively, but moving in the right direction, however you want to optimize your health, your awareness, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, it's normal that this is a time of year after the holiday season of winding down in introspection. Now it's that first week of getting things into gear. And we're going to start with, kind of go with the program, literally the Alchemist Recovery Program, lesson number one, where we talk about the definitions of things, defining alcoholic, addict, addicted. What do these words mean? What weight do they carry? What do they mean to you? What do they mean in the dictionary? What do they mean in legal, licensed, clinical settings versus what do they mean in the everyday terminology? And how are things changing in all of these spheres? And one place to begin is I just had a conversation with my beautiful and talented wife, Dr. Dana Lee Lyons. You can read her writing. She's also an excellent writer over on Substack at The Perfect Hunger, she writes. And we were discussing kind of the differences between the ways that we approach things. And even all these years later, for me in recovery, I have not touched my drugs and substances of choice in decades. And at the same time, there are mechanisms in place that still work for me in the sense of substitution, denial. And this brings up the topic of, entering into recovery, entering into sobriety, taking a look at, a hard look at, with honesty and ruthless honesty and great compassion, I like to say, of these introspective aspects of ourselves. And one of the things about recovery is that when it's done from the perspective of a holistic perspective of the way that we do things at the Sober Shaman, is time is cyclical. So things that go around are things that come around, and we get to revisit aspects of ourselves, patterns that maybe we took the first layer off yesterday, a week, month, years, decades ago, but yet that pattern will resurface in a way that is the same, yet in a way that is also more manageable because we have digested some of the charge emotionally, some of the mental machinations and or triggers, and the spiritual relationships have been reconfigured in different ways. So of course, it can be easier and it can be harder as we're also going into deeper layers. So lesson one, regardless of whether you are jumping into recovery for the first time or jumping into recovery No, really, for the first time. Or you have been in recovery for a long period of time. Doing the exercises in the program for me, because every year, you know, I've got 52 lessons, one for every week of the year. And when I revisit these lessons, I always get something out of them. And it's another layer. Which brings me around to that idea of why I'm lucky to be in recovery. Why it's good to have had an active addiction. And how does that work to my advantage? I hear people say so many times. And one of the things that we're looking at in the update 2026 to the program this time around is especially the phrase, I believe, this is me talking now, I believe we are more addicted to, attached to our identity than we are to any substance or action. We're more addicted to our identity than any substance or action. And I go into some examples in the lesson of the week. And simply for us here and now, there's always another layer underneath the stopping of any addictive substance or action. When we stop the cycle, when we break the cycle for whatever layer we are in, whether again, first week of the year, you know, this time around, I'm doing something different. I'm going to do the sober shaman. What the heck is this? Let's try this. Well, what's going to be different is there are layers to these things. And no matter where you're at, if you're just stopping right now, know that time is cyclical. Will be one way that we look at things differently. This is not an A plus B equals C, and then I'm done kind of thing. Only it will be A plus B equals C equals D again and again and again. And I did want to say, you might hear in the background the cacophony of birds here in northern Thailand. And now what's just started are the monks across the street at the temple at the Wat Wichit Wari have started chanting. How beautiful. I'm going to breathe that in for a second and continue this. This identity that we are attached to is always a deeper layer. Who I think I am and who I definitely think I am not. And that's what definitions are really all about. And that's why we tackle this right in lesson number one, right at the very beginning. To define is to draw a clear line around or line between. And for me, this clarity is imperative. Black and white, black or white. At the same time, there are opposites, and at the same time, just like yin yang, they are mutually dependent upon each other. They are inclusive of a whole. They are a paradox. At the same time, they are opposites and they are one and the same of a whole. And we talk about that in the beautiful paradoxes in the work that we do. You are unique And at the same time, addiction is completely predictable. One of the foundational principles of the work we do here at the Sober Shaman. And so defining is about separating. It's about clearly who I am and who I am not. Am I these labels? Alcoholic. Alcoholic. That's an old term. That's what my grandfather was. That was what my great grandfather was, right? It's a word of the whatever you want to fill it in, the past. I don't have any problems with that word. And at the same time, I've worked through and digested my own baggage of what was my resistance to the word. Does it fit? It fits in the way that it fits in with my belief system right now, to where it doesn't hold a charge. Randy, you're an alcoholic. Okay, that works. Randy, alcoholic is an old and outdated term that does not apply anymore. Okay, that works. For me, I don't even like work through. It makes me sound like I've achieved something different. Just this is a personal thing, and this is the work that we do. How does the word land with you, and what does it mean? And right from lesson one, what I feel we need to do is a kind of triage working in any program together is to immediately get on the same page, establish some foundational definitions, and eliminate any baggage so that we can move forward. Does this word work for you? Does addict work for you? Does addiction work for you? In psychology, there's been a changing over the last couple of decades, and it's a spectrum to the usage, to where it's like, well, it's not addiction, it's abuse. And there's criteria for each, and I feel that there's good and there's bad to each one of those, depending upon how the person accepts and or rejects the criteria. Does the belief system fit in with the model? That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line with lesson one. What are your definitions? What is the baggage that you are carrying in about these words that we need to release? What are the beliefs that are old and outdated that no longer apply? Which is why we do this statement in the exercise, why it is the central focus of lesson one. Hi, my name is Randall, and I'm an alcoholic and an addict. In the update, I talk about how this single phrase, this statement, this self-expression can either transform your recovery or it can trap your recovery. For many people, this phrase is amazing because it gives them freedom and the clarity that it provides with who I am. Once surrender, acceptance happens, they get to maybe join a group that this is a central tenet of the model, and it works for you. And saying these things allow you a kind of shorthand to all of the other people in that model because you share that same belief. Bingo, fantastic, home run, that's wonderful. In doing so, you cut through a lot of misunderstandings right off the bat because you understand that each other faces the same challenges. Now, for me, one of the biggest things about this, and back to that idea of identity, is the universality, the universal truths. Addiction is predictable. When we enter into the cycle of active addiction, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you are doing. You are predictable. I know exactly where you are in the cycle, and then what's coming next, and what's coming after that, and what's coming after that, and then what that'll do, and then how we will find ourselves exactly right back here, wherever we are, once again, in X amount of time. It doesn't matter your class, your race, your sexuality, your culture, your color. It doesn't matter. Addiction is predictable. There are universal truths. And at the same time, you are unique in your situation, in your constellation of ingredients that make up your life. This is all true at the same time. That's the paradox. And at the same time, one of the beauties is when people embrace the statement, my name is, and I am a, there is a recognition of sameness. There is the recognition of it doesn't matter who you are or what you do. We're the same. And that, in these times, is so beautiful, and in some ways is the most important thing. If we could apply this wonderful lesson of addiction, this wonderful gift of addiction recovery to everything. Imagine if we could apply it to politics. Good God, right? It's like, I know you're a red, and I know you're a blue, and I know you're a green. And if we could apply it to the same idea of, well, it doesn't matter if you are an alcoholic, if you are a gambling addict, if you are a porn addict, or if you do pills. Fill in the blank. I can see how we are the same. And starting from that place of commonality, of common language, of connection, boom, now we can have a conversation. Now we can respect each other. Now we can also bring clarity to where we are different and why we are different, and respect our differences with that foundational root of commonality. It's why people say, you know, I'm jealous of you being in recovery and having an addiction, because you get to nail your problems. You get to nail your psychology. You get to nail your spiritual angst and existential questions into this one particular channel. And you got a group of people that you can talk to about it. Pretty cool. And we have that root of commonality. Now, for some people, saying the statement, hi, my name is, and I am a, rubs their mind like sandpaper for whatever reason. And of course, there are arguments to be made. Well, you're just in denial. You're not surrendering. You're not, following the program. I was one of those people that did not embrace this particular path when I became sober. It did rub my mind like sandpaper, but not for some of the reasons why. It's like it didn't make me feel like a loser. And quite simply, you know, I ask people, does doing the exercise from lesson one, do you feel empowered? Do you feel disempowered? Do you feel connected or do you feel disconnected? Because saying the exercise is one of the things we are disconnected from in addiction is our own body, is our own awarenesses. So when we do the exercise from lesson one, we're bringing awareness to our body. We're bringing awareness to our feelings. We're bringing clarity to how this makes me feel, where, why. And as a side note, I find it pretty interesting from a holistic point of view, from a Chinese medicine point of view, from treating people point of view. It's like, huh, how interesting. Doing this exercise, you notice in your body a discomfort, a pain, a dis-ease that is exactly the same as, hey, look at this. One of the other reasons why you're sitting on my treatment table for a physical ailment or a mental anxiety, right? How do you, oh, that's interesting. This is my anxiety. This is how my anxiety feels at 3:33 a.m. By saying this statement, huh, that shows how much power is in this statement. Is it making your physical ailment? Is it making it worse? That's not the point I'm saying here. The point I'm saying here is they're one and the same. That's the whole point of holistic medicine, is that there is no separation between mental, emotional, spiritual, and how and where and what form it takes in the body. Of course it does. And this is one way of checking it out. So when we say this particular exercise, when we say this statement with awareness, and we are maybe one of those people that rejects it as not working for me right here, right now, it's important to then gain clarity as to why. I have one particular client who I refer to because they attended a very expensive, exclusive treatment facility for the third time in a relatively short period of time. It was like 18 months or something like that. And they couldn't stay sober. And they kept trying to do this particular way of recovery where saying this line was a foundational piece of things, to where she just exploded in one of my meetings, because in my groups, you have permission to do these things of blah. I just figured it out. It does make me feel disempowered. It makes me feel like I'm handing away all my control. And then when you get to talk about control from the point of view of, for them, it wasn't control as in, I need to control my willpower and addiction and me. No, it was control as, I feel like I'm giving away my participation and my responsibility in what I need to do in these steps in recovery when I say these things. It just, the shame and the guilt is just overwhelming when I say that. And it puts me in a position of disempowerment right off the bat. And I can't get past that. God bless. Maybe down the road, because time is also cyclical, we can revisit it and see how this statement lands with you months, a year, maybe a few years. Maybe it'll still rub your mind like sandpaper. Maybe it won't hold any more charge. But that is one of the ways I love to begin examination, to introduce awareness, because this is such an obvious sensation in the body for so many people. Saying this line, rejecting or accepting, and what that does, and how it clearly defines who I am and who I definitely am not, and all of the attachments to our identity, and how we get to examine them. Maybe some of them, maybe one of them, is not helping us as we enter into recovery, or maybe as we revisit a renewal aspect of our recovery, or after decades of being in recovery, maybe there's an aspect of it that now I'm ready to address, release, as it relates to this chapter in my life. And that's why the tools we learn in recovery are ongoing, are not only life-changing in the beginning, but they are life-promoting as time goes on. One of the reasons why I'm lucky to be an addict in recovery. I'm lucky to have learned these lessons. I am blessed to be able to take them and apply them to spirituality, power, transformation as time goes on. So thanks for listening to this edition, lesson one, first week of 2026, Sober Shaman podcast, being serenaded by the monks chanting in the background up here in northern Thailand. Blessings to you from the land of smiles. Send me any questions you have. Check out the lesson of the week in all of its entirety over at the website, www.randalllyons.com or thesobershaman.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Till next time, blessings.